Yeah, Linda Ronstadt there, and When Will I Be Loved? And now I have in the studio with me Austin McCoy and Jim Everson. Good morning, lads.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, Austin, the listeners know you well.
I don't know.
Right, this thing in the Northside People, what I found, this housing plan for the Oscar Traynor Road. Yeah. Is there a background to this? And
Well, actually, there's a background there. The Lawrence, the Larkin Estate was built. It was 470 houses, and originally there might be a little bit more now with add-ons, etc., etc. And John Lawrence was actually the builder, developer, and the Greendale Building Company, right? Mm. Which was a Scottish-based company, and He had on this, the Lawrence land, that's how the name locally became the Lawrence land. He intended to build 400 extra houses on that piece of ground, right?
Originally.
Yeah. Now, this, yeah, we're going back nearly 46 years ago. He refused permission because there wasn't the facilities, sewage, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And it's been lying idle since. And we made several attempts to get it developed into all sorts of things. The last one was it was to be a water type park, hotel, etc., etc., and an amusement centre. Landscape was the name of that. That went on for about 10 years. Then it was occupied in three different occasions by travelling families, etc., which took a bit of experience and a bit of to get them moved on, and they moved on eventually. Then it was going to be developed for 700 houses by a consortium, and that fell through in, I think it was 08, and it's been lying there ever since, collecting rubbish, and we always wanted it developed.
Just to tell the listeners, where exactly is this piece of land for people who aren't acquainted with it?
If you're going down up on the Oscar Train Road, when you pass the all-weather pitches, it's into the left, and it goes as far up as the roundabout. Then it's bounded on the other side by the Port Tunnel, and it's bounded on the other side by the Larkin Estate,
yeah,
and the park,
right, yeah,
and the Crescent, etc. And we made several attempts to get it. We negotiated with the last developers, and we got a whole lot of different bits and pieces. It agreed on, but everything fell through again.
Yeah,
everything goes to 5 to midnight on this piece of ground, and it collapses. But this time, now the development indicated that they were, I think, they extrapolated the development from the plan that was there before. They indicated they were going to build 700 units on it, on a 14-hectare site, right? Then on the 4th of the 2nd, they put advertisements in the paper, and the land seemed to expand it to 16 hectares, and it was still 700 units. Now we see they indicated in the Land Initiative report that we're going to make that up to 840 units. And the latest bit we know is they intend to increase that to 1,000 units, with possibly a 10-storey building up at the roundabout.
We'll let Jim come in here. The 10-storey units, that's way over the top, pardon the pun.
These things out here, they'd always give you, to make it plausible, and nearly when you listen to the developers now, it sounds good, but when you actually look into it and realise that 10 stories, I mean, do they even realise that the 10 story buildings on the approach to one of the runways at Dublin Airport, which is only, I think, about 1.5 kilometres from that point, and as I say, I think the problem, you've got to look at it, Larkin Residence, Larkin Estate is approximately up to maybe 500 houses, just a little short. What they're proposing here is 1,000 units.
Yeah.
I mean, that's twice the size of Larkin, in the sense that, like, even if there's only one car per unit, you can imagine the actual problems you're going to have with infrastructure, everything like that, sewage, water. I mean, we've already had problems with water supply and low pressure. So, I mean, it's only exacerbating the problem. So, from our point of view, we're trying to get in there and get as best a deal as we can for Lorcan residents at this stage. And what we're asking the planners and the developers is to talk to us. Let's sit down and let's see what we can come up with. We're certainly not against planning. We know there's a need for housing and good quality housing in the Dublin area. There's no problem. We support anything like that. But what we need to feel is that, the quality of life for our residents, our association is going to be maintained after development and carrying forward, So
we'll stress that. There's no objection to actually putting in houses. Housing is always welcome, especially with the crisis that's happening at the moment. But do you always seem to go overboard?
This seems to go totally overboard. The 700 now have plans, but the 700 were there, and the density, I think that was the maximum density at the time, and we negotiated parks and boundary walls, etc. But we were opposed to any exits in and out, or exits and entrances connecting Lorcan Estate to this proposed development as such. And actually they don't call it exits and entrances, they call it enhanced connectivity. And we looked at development plans and other development plans, and that word is never in it, so we don't know what they're talking about. But we know what they intend to do is to put openings into our estate. Now, at the moment, the traffic is bad enough, but 1,000 units, which I don't think it'll ever become 1,000 units, but even at 700 units.
Yeah, well, I think maybe if they're talking about 1,000 units, they're this 10-storey...
there's going to be a bit like a wedge, from 2, 4, 6, 8, and then the 10-storey.
Graduate up all the way along.
And you said, the approach to Dublin Airport, it's not viable, really, is it, a 10-storey?
We wouldn't think so.
Because, if you may be aware of an incident with the Days Hotel there in Ballymun, going back a few years, it was near collision, and I'd imagine they'd be looking at that. The airport itself will probably have a view on that one. But as I say, apart from the housing, all we're hearing is about is the number of units. Has anybody talked about the infrastructure that's going to sort of complement this? We don't have any rail in the area, and there's no plan to put rail in to alleviate the problem. So what they're doing, they're just dumping things on top of us, and there's nothing as regards the infrastructural nature of this. And that's what we want to see. We want to be able to go back and say, people, look, this is what you had beforehand, and this is what you're going to have afterwards, and can we manage with that? And that's what we need to decide, and that's what our sort of objective is.
Our approach is, we were talking actually to the planners and such, and we were talking to the man that's in charge of this way back last April, and we were to be, consulted on everything, and as far as we can see, we're being consulted on nothing.
Just completely.
And the plan is changing. The hectares from 14.2 to 17. How did they stretch the land out that far is beyond me. It seemed to be indicating that it's a bigger site and they put more units into it. Now, we've no problem meeting with anybody, talking to them and putting forward what we think should be done. Now, we're not opposed to housing under any circumstances. This has been a rubbish dump.
Yeah.
And like I say, over the last 40 years, there's been three major developments planned for it, and
they all fell through.
They all fell through. And the Landscap one went on for 10 years. Yeah. And we ended up on board and all sorts of places. And we got what we wanted there, but then the man couldn't raise the money to build it. So
it's like, it would be good for to develop it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No problem there. A reasonable amount of houses or units, if they like to call them, but a reasonable amount of units. And, then looking at the transport, etc., we don't want anything to impinge on the people that are living in the estate. They've been there for... majority of them are there since the houses were built 50 years ago.
Yeah, 700,000
units. I think too, John, if you look at the last few years, like Beaumont Hospital is, it's a huge big hospital, and that's been developing, and they have plans to develop over the next 10-15 years, and significant development is going to bring additional people, additional traffic in. So you've got to look at that. There's already things happening in the area, and we don't want to get to the point where we can't move, people feel trapped, and they want to have some quality of life. And I think it's been reasonably well managed, and I think one of the reasons is that the people have spoken to one another, they've talked, and they've come to an agreement. And I think that going forward, I think that this is the whole key to the successful outcome in this case, is dialogue, really.
And this development, is this going to be private accommodation, or is it going to be...
No, I'll get it. There was a whole range of different ways of funding this.
Yeah.
And the most, you know, one that we were very adamant wouldn't happen was full share capital. Now, the city council are putting up the money to develop it. They're trying to get private people to develop this land as far as we can see. It keeps changing by the day. The Land Initiative report indicate different other things. And the latest one is now that they don't say how it's going to be funded. We're looking for expressions of interest from people to do this, put the money up to build these units and to lease them out or rent them out, and it's everything is
up in the air.
Up in the air, and
so you could be talking about retail units and everything
There have to be retail units to service the amount of houses that are going into it. I'd say the maximum is 700 units, but you have to have retail units to service that, like shops, etc., etc., etc.
And then you have to have amenities as well. You have to have community.
And then those are the sort of things you have to. How is going to people get in and out of it? Is it going to be public transport? And the last one, they were going to run a bus into it from Castle Diamond, straight in and around and back out again. There's no indication of that. Now that's been dumped into another department, transport. So the whole thing is. We're trying to get it fastened down and see what's going to happen and then negotiate whatever.
So there's no joined-up thinking?
None whatsoever.
And I think, John, you've hit on a good point, because if you think those 700-odd, and if they are even end up with 700 units, there'll be children, there'll be young families going in there, they're going to have needs for schooling, all that. I mean, has that even been thought about? Where is that mentioned in any of this? There's no evidence of it.
No evidence of it at all.
So what stage is this at? Is this at the planning level? Is it going to be... are they looking for a planning permission?
After trying to get into the 16 development for Dublin as such. Now, the last development, we put a lot of bits and pieces in regards to height. Now, that was the 11-16 development plan. Now, you can make submissions to the development plan, what you think should be in the development plan. Now, that covers the whole of Dublin, but this is only one little part of Dublin. And, of course, it's the councillors will vote on the development plan when it ever comes out. But your councillors in Inchicore or anywhere else outside of just Bailiwick here, they see this big lump of land on the map doing nothing. And may not have ever seen it.
So this won't be down to our local councils?
The local ones, the entire city council. But sure, the vast majority of them mightn't even know where the land is.
The other thing is as well, John, is that it's not just going to affect Lorcan, it's going to affect all the surrounding communities. We're constantly, because we live in Lorcan, obviously, and we look after their interests as best we can, but it's going to impact on Coolock, Kilmore, Beaumont, all those areas. And I mean, the traffic is going to be flowing from this in and out of this development. So we need to make sure we get this right, because it's going to cause, it'll actually add to our problems. We end up with a worse product than we started with, and we certainly don't want that.
And the Oscar Traynor Road is a very busy road as it is. It's only one lane.
If you even think, John, I'm sure you're turning out from Dun Daniel Road there onto Coolock Lane, or the Oscar Traynor Road, as we call it. And I mean, even the traffic's turning in, there's no green light going left.
Yeah.
And I suspect what they're doing is they're holding all back any slight improvements they can make to enhance this project when it happens. I mean, there's things that should have happened over the last few years, and they've been holding back to try and make this thing look good when it does appear in reality, you know. And I think so we're actually suffering now because this hasn't even gone ahead. And I'm sure everybody knows people going, staff going home from Beaumont Hospital in the evenings, they know the tailbacks. What, they're about 500-600 metres long, coming right back into the estate there towards Kilmore. And that could be alleviated now. There's no reason why that can't. But the reason is because they're holding it back for this development. You know, it's unacceptable.
With regard to Beaumont Hospital, we meet the management of Beaumont Hospital every 12 weeks and quarterly. And so, now, they intend to double the capacity of the hospital in the next 15, 20 years. Now, we're talking to them at the moment. Now, they don't have money because it's been saving up and children's hospital, etc., etc. But all of this is going to impinge on the locality one way or another.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get in there at the beginning and make our views known and work with people to
At least Bone Hospital are talking to you. At least Bone
Hospital. There's no problem whatsoever with meeting with the management of Bowman Hospital. And there's a report every quarter, etc. Helicopters is one of the big things now, just at the moment. But that's why we're going away from the Lawrence Land as such. And now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 entrances and exits marked on this little map here. And two of them are directly in Lorcan. And I don't know how traffic flow, they could manage that one way or another. It's bad enough as it is now. There's 100,000 new cars registered up to September this year, 100,080 new cars. Now, that's for the whole of Ireland, but the majority of them are in the Dublin area. So the car population is increasing rapidly. There was 980 in 14, so there's not that many cars going off the road. Now, these are only cars. There's other vehicles, of course, vans, etc., etc., lorries, etc. And at the moment, if you're going to stick 1,000 units in there with possibly 1,000 cars, the whole thing is going to... The whole thing is just going to stop. And it's going to impinge on everybody. So we want to try and get in at the beginning.
Now Larkin's talking over you. You're looking at a map there. Is that map available to the public?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How did they go about looking?
They'll get down below here, I'd say. You can read out there.
It's available online. It's part of the strategic development generation of Dublin City. As I say, it's Dublin City Council website. I'm sure development plan, if they Google that, they should be able to pull it up. It's opening, and I mean, a lot of the councillors have actually posted leaflets around with the actual outline plan on it, and people can see the map. So it clearly defines what the proposal, the outline proposal is. But as I say, it's what goes in there. And as I say, Austin says that the five access points, some of them are just ain't going to work. It's a simple as that, and you know, as I say, this is why we need to talk to the people who the councils. We need to talk to the city council. We need to talk to the developers. We need to be able to go back, because our residents are going to be asking us, what are we doing about it? And we need to have answers.
But as Austin said, you said earlier, Austin, there's more than one department involved here.
Yeah,
and you seem to be getting fobbed off.
Well, I wouldn't say it fobbed off, but there's conflicting information coming to us, you know, as such. Like 700, 840, 1,000, and a 10-storey building, possibly a potential for a 10-storey building up at the roundabout. And of course, a kilometre and a half away, they knocked down buildings at that size.
That's right, I was going to mention that, you know, because they weren't...
And of course, we know that there's a huge pressure coming from government and Mr. Kelly's department, etc., on everybody to provide houses, etc., etc., because there was 800 families evicted last month. Mm. 800 now, because of a rising rent, and etc., etc. And then there's another thing that wasn't mentioned at all, but this pop-up buildings. They were going to put them in Cherry Orchard. It was one of the sites they were going to develop. And there seems to be a whole lot more out there now. We don't know a terrible lot about it. Mm. These, modular housing. And there's nothing wrong with modular housing, because I've seen them built in America, and they're prefabricated houses, and they're very good. But the trouble is, we know with prefabs before with schools, that they're only supposed to be temporary.
Yeah.
And some of them were there 30 years falling apart and are still falling apart.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on about housing that was supposed to be temporary and it's still gone years and years. I'm just looking here. Excuse me. There's also a hotel mentioned in this.
But that would be on the Oscar Traynor side, yeah. Well, that's all the facilities you would have to have with a shops, etc., etc. Doctor's clinic, etc., whatever, there'd be there, shops. Because if you stick in 700 or 400 units in there, people have to go in the shop somewhere.
And, you know, the positive side, there is a positive side. John, it creates jobs, development and development stage, the building, construction, jobs, you know, there are. We're certainly, we'll support anything in once it's done in the right vein. And the other thing is, as regards, it has been a bit piecemeal, this development plan, because the councils are, local councils are saying that they didn't actually have view of the master plan before it was published. I mean, if the local councillors haven't seen it, there's something wrong here. And this is what we're trying to do, is to make sure this is done in a consistent and sort of systematic fashion. And to date, the evidence isn't there, John, that's happening, and that's what we want to sort of, we want to try and nail that down now at this point, you know. So,
People should get involved in this now, because it's very important, as you said, for the whole area, not just for Larkin.
Say that everybody should make their submission into the development plan.
Yeah.
So even if you write on the back of a postcard, I don't want entrances from Larkin, or I don't want 1,000 units, or you can make it as detailed as you like. But we're urging all residents to make some sort of, well, they say comment, but we say submission to this development plan of what they want in it.
Yeah.
In particular with regard to this site.
And what do you object to?
Make submissions to say that we won't tolerate this and we won't tolerate that and we want this one in. And then we want to see what sort of a comeback there from the people with that are putting this development plan together.
So
taking on board what the people are saying? Now, people can make submissions and they can be dumped in the inbox and sort of left there.
How can people go about making submissions?
You can just write it on a piece of paper, right? Or a letter, and send it posted in.
Yeah.
Or you can bring it in, if you want to, into the city council and dump it in the box. But I would suggest we post it in. And it goes to the Enterprise and Economic Development Department. Of Dublin City Council.
Enterprise and Economic Department.
Development Department, yeah.
Yeah. And that's where?
It is in the civic offices in town.
In Wood Quay.
In Wood Quay there. Yeah.
Now, the cut-off time is the 11th of December at 4 o'clock. Nothing will be taken after that. Now, with all other development, the last development plan, we made a huge amount of submissions in regard to heights of buildings. And we got the apartments down to 3 stories in areas that were, they will be overlooking, you know, 2-story housing, etc. Now, in Northwood, we have all these apartments, and they're all the one size. But they're not overlooking anybody. So this is a new ball game this time.
Right, well, people, they can send their, not their objections, because I don't think it's...
Submissions,
yeah. I think you have to pay to make an objection, believe it or not.
And I think, you know, the other thing as well is that, with social media now and the internet, they can email their submission in, and they can contact the local councillors, who are all available, their addresses are available online. So there's no real excuse. I mean, if you're not in, you know,
if you're not in, you can't win.
And that's really it, I suppose, as the saying goes. So. Yeah.
If you don't make your submissions and then it goes ahead, well then you can't, complain.
We'd like some comeback to see what they did with the submissions. The submissions are submissions. They might look at that's the same as that, and that's the same as that, and we may look at that later. But we want to know exactly what they think of our submission.
Okay, and those submissions go to the Enterprise and Economic Department in the Civic Offices in Woodley.
The 11th of December, 4 p.m. is the cut-off.
Okay, lads, anything else you want to add before we take a break?
No, not at the moment. But we will be working on this, and we hope that we will have a successful outcome. Like I say, we're not opposed to people building units or houses, a reasonable amount with infrastructure that suits.
Well, housing is it's very necessary
at the moment. It's a huge priority. We know that. But we don't want it to just stick and plaster stuff there.
I mean, we have a track record. I mean, we have a successful track record in the sense that we're not opposing anything. We work with people. And I mean, as I say, all we want to do is make sure that the interests of our local residents are maintained in this, or, you know, they feel they get it, they've got a fair crack at the whip out of it. And as I say, we work with anybody, because there are positives to this. There's the construction, as I said, there's jobs in long term of it. So, I mean, yes, it's as Austin said, the site beforehand was a dump, and it, you know, we welcome the development of it, absolutely, but it's the fashion in which it's developed that's what we need to have some control over, you know, or some say in.
And there is huge interest already, because you had a meeting and there was over 200 people turnout.
I'd like to thank the management of the Kilmardine, who made everything available to us. It wasn't at short notice, because we were planning this meeting way back in May, and we thought a lot of people would be on holidays at the time, so we pushed it back. And we'd like to thank the management of the Kilmardine. They did everything they could to facilitate us, and we would like to thank the guards who were there on the night. We were doing a bit about tax alert and home security and all that, so we bundled them together, and then we had the councillors there, and the Roisin Chortall TD there, who gave a very detailed speech to the people as such, and then we had a bit of entertainment after that.
I think it's the involvement of the people, John, that makes, you know, people sit up and take account. You know, it's only when the public or the residents stand up and sort of they get their say. I think people then start taking notice, and that's what we're trying to just steer that, make sure it happens.
It's always a year too late when you see the bulldozer.
It is. Okay, listen, Austin McCoy and Jim Everson, thanks very much for coming in.